All right, let's jump into the Word tonight. We'll just head into the Word and share with you for just a few minutes tonight. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would. I want us to go back. We're going to, if you'll remember, last Wednesday, I shared with you about the power of a seed. And we took it out of John chapter 12 and verse 24, where Jesus says to them, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, then the harvest cannot come. And we talked about that, and we looked at that and examined that. And then Sunday being Resurrection Sunday, and we preached on living on the other side of the river and what the resurrection means for us. And just with those thoughts in my mind, I did not feel a release to move on from that just yet. And so I want us to go tonight back into, if you will, Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. Luke chapter 24 and beginning at verse number 1. And I want us to look at something about the resurrection tonight. Luke 24 verse 1, here's what it says. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. So you've got Mary and you've got Mary Magdalene, you've got these that are coming to the tomb, okay? And they're bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. Now, I want to stop there for just a moment, and we're going to go back to this, and we're going to carry on a little bit farther in our reading. But I want to point something out to you. I want you to look at verse number 5 with me again. They were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth, and then the angel said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? In verse 6, it says, he is not here, but is risen. I want you to think with me for just a moment. This is a powerful statement that we miss. The angels say, why do you seek the living among the dead? And the living that the angels are talking about is determined in the next verse, in verse number 6, when it says, he is not here. So the living in this moment was not Mary. It was not the other women. It was not those that were there. The living is Jesus Christ. Now I want you to understand that, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is life for us. Why do you seek the living among the dead? For he, the living one, is not here. See, we live in a world of death. We live in a world of death, and by definition, what is meant by that is, by death being separation. We live in a world of separation. A world that, because sin has come in, then we have been separated from the Father. There is a separation. The world is not functioning as it was created to function. But there is a living one that has come to pay the price for sin. His name is Jesus. And we can't find the living among the dead, because there is only one access to life, and that is through Jesus Christ. And as I was studying that really wasn't my message, not even though that's a part of my message, my lesson, but that just grabbed me, and I wanted you to see that. I wanted you to catch that and hear that he is the living one. In a world of death and separation, in a world that is failing, in a world that is falling, don't look for the living among the dead. Don't look for life among what is dead. Look for life only in Jesus Christ, for he is not here. He's not a part of this dead process any longer. He is alive. Amen. And just hear that and let that sink into your spirit. Verse 6, he is not here but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. And he said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to the apostles, their words seemed to the disciples, the followers of Christ, like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now, the other Gospels will tell a little bit varying stories on this same line. And you'll pick up you'll kind of fill in the story a little bit, but we're going to focus right here in Luke's gospel for just a little bit tonight. And what I really want to focus on is verse 11, and their words, the women's words, seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. I want you to understand this, and this is where we're going to go tonight. It is very important that you understand life through the resurrection. Okay, it's very, very important. Last week we talked about a seed dying, and unless a seed dies, the harvest cannot come. Okay, and we talked about the process that's needed, the sowing and the watering and the heat and the temperature being right, and then the harvest coming and it being reaped so that it could spread. And so we have to get an understanding of life through the understanding of death, and that's because Jesus paid the price for us. But if we are going to live an abundant life, then we have to have a view and a life that is seen through the resurrection. Okay, the difference right here, there are two groups of people now in this story. There are the women who have been to the tomb and have seen it empty, who have heard the angels say to them, why are you looking for the dead among the living among the dead? He is not here, for he has risen. They have seen that he was not there. They may not understand it all, but they are going to tell the disciples. They've been to the tomb. They've seen a resurrection has occurred. And because of that, they have a whole different view on their life right now than the disciples do. They have a whole different understanding because the disciples are still seeing life through death. And just bear with me as we walk through this a little bit, because this becomes very important for you to grab hold of. That we must have an encounter with the resurrection. We must have an encounter with the resurrection so we can live resurrected life. If we don't, then we will constantly be bogged down by other things. And so I'm not going to go into a lot of the historical background and some of those things. I think those of you that are here tonight all will believe that there has been a resurrection. And so I'm not going to try to prove that there was a resurrection tonight. I simply want to begin to look at the difference in these two. You've got one group of people that are seeing life through death, and you've got another group of people that now are seeing possibilities of life through the resurrection. And it's very important that we choose which one we are going to look through. It's very important that we understand this and what each one of these is going to look like. Okay? If our religion is dead, if our religion is just traditional rituals only, if we are living in the past of what has happened in the past, and we're just living by a bunch of traditions or rituals, we will never get to the life, the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Now remember, they've gone through the process with him. They have the Lord's Supper that they can celebrate, because Jesus told them, this is my body broken and my blood shed. They can celebrate that. They've seen him die. They knew, the scripture says, that without that there had to be bloodshed for sin to be overcome. There had to be a sacrifice. They knew Jesus had told them that he was going to die. They understood this. They had Isaiah 53, and Jesus had spoken to them about the prophecies about Messiah, that he was going to die and resurrect. But the disciples, all they're seeing is his death. They know he cried on the cross, because some of them were there. John was there, along with the mother of Mary and others. They were there and they heard him cry out, "It is finished." They heard the stories of the veil in the temple being rent in two, and the stories about bodies that had come out of the grave and went around testifying of God. They've heard these stories. They know these things, but they're still stuck in seeing life through death rather than seeing life through the resurrection. And we've got a lot of Christians that are stuck, and they see life. They know Christ paid the price for sin. They know that there's a way out of sin, but they seem stuck there. So I just want to look at that concept tonight and talk to you about that. The words of life that the women were bringing to them seemed like nonsense to the disciples. They were just idle tales. Somebody saying he's alive, that made no sense to them. We saw him die. Amen. So it was making no sense to them. It seemed like idle tales, and they did not believe them because of all they had was the cross. Okay? They didn't have the resurrection at this point. They didn't understand. They knew he had told them about it. They're about to. Everything's about to change. But for this moment, this is where we are. Two different churches, if you will, two different groups of people, two different mindsets. One is stuck in a place that cannot get you to abundant life. It can get you to the hope of forgiveness of sin, but it can't get you to a life that's going to live beyond the sacrifice for sin. And the other sees possibility of life going forward. Okay? So let's look at that for just a moment tonight. First of all, let's look at the disciples. Let's look at what they could not believe, why they could not believe. Why would these words seem like idle tales? Because Jesus had told them. He was not shy about this. He told them he was going to die and then be resurrected. But for some reason, even when he died, they couldn't understand yet the resurrection part. That's pretty obvious. We can understand why they wouldn't. Now, it's easy for us to look back now and say, well, how did they not know? Well, if you live through it, that's not going to be the primary thought in your mind. Okay? So they're stuck in that. So there was a reason they couldn't believe. And here's the three things that we're going to talk about in the life of a person that's not living abundant life. Okay? A person that is not living in the life promised them, a person that is stuck, and it can be someone that believes in Jesus, it can be someone who has confessed Jesus as their Savior, but they are not living in the freedom of life and life on the other side of the resurrection. They're not living in the blessing of life. And here's the three things we're going to talk about. The reason they couldn't believe what the women were telling them was because death was still in their eyes. Loss was still in their hearts, and doubt was still in their mouth. Those three things kept them from believing what the women told them. I want you to just think with me about this. And those three things will also keep you and me from living the free life that Jesus came to die and resurrect that we could live in. How many know the cross took care of our sin, but the resurrection gives us life to live hereafter? Do y'all understand that? The cross paid the price for sin. Let us never forget that. But if there had been no resurrection, then there is no hope of life after death. Okay? And so just to die... Thank God that he sent his son to die. But there was a resurrection, and the resurrection makes a difference in our life living going forward and for eternity. And so the three things that held them back in the moment that we just read are the same three things that can hold us back. And that is, when death is still in our eyes, when loss is still in our hearts, and when doubt is still in our mouths. Okay? Death was still in their eyes. Let's look at that. This is the reason why the world is always searching for pleasure. Because death is in their eyes. They see that there is no real hope. They may not understand what they're seeing, but they know that this life is not forever. And so they want pleasure while they live, because death is coming. Amen. If that's the attitude we're living life with, death is still in our eyes, and we'll never live through a resurrection view, through a resurrection perspective. We'll never live on the other side of the resurrection. If we're always living, well, I gotta do everything now. I gotta get all the pleasure I can get. I gotta do this because death's coming. See, that's where the disciples were. Do you know why they were locked in the room that they were locked in? Because they were afraid they were next. They were just waiting for the knock on the door or someone to bust through the door and drag them out and do the very same thing to them. Do you know why Peter denied Jesus? He denied Jesus because death was in his eyes. He knew if they pinned him to being with Jesus, they might do the same thing to him they were going to do to Jesus. Death was in their eyes. And so when they hear the words that the tomb's empty and he's alive, they can't understand that because death's in their eyes. They're just thinking, well, we just got to get through this. We just got to exist. We just got to live. Death's coming, but we just got to live. And a lot of Christians live their life. They know Jesus is the Savior. They've prayed and accepted him into their life, but they're still living with death in their eyes. Life within their person, but death in their eyes. And you'll never live in the full blessing of what Christ gave to you through the death, burial, and resurrection. You'll never live in the full blessing with death in your eyes. And that seems like such a simple statement, but it truly is a concept that is difficult for us to get past. In Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 13, verse 12, and in that day the Lord God of hosts called for weeping and for mourning, for baldness, for girding with sackcloth, but instead joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating meat and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That's the mindset of the world. Do you know why people without Christ live the way they live? Because they have death in their eyes. And they know it's coming, and so they're going to get everything they can before that time comes. Christians shouldn't live with that mindset. That should not be our mindset. Why? Because we have a resurrected Savior. We've got life everlasting. Amen? Jesus said, I came to give you life, but I came to give you that life more abundantly. We are free to live an abundant life. We should not live with the mindset of let's eat and drink, let's get all the pleasure we can because death's coming. That is a mindset that causes you to not believe. It causes you to not hope for better things. It causes you to not live in better ways. It causes you to live to the lowest common denominator rather than the highest possibility. Amen. And so you've got a lot of people that are stuck, just like the disciples were in the moment that I read to you, are stuck with that mindset. Death is still in their eyes. So many believers have a hard time, Christians have a hard time believing the promises of God for the very same reason. I can't believe that God's going to come through on my behalf. Why? Because death's in your eyes. Oh, I don't see a way out of this. Right? Because death's in your eyes. I don't see any hope. I've tried that before and it didn't work before. Death's in your eyes. You're seeing the failure. You're seeing the struggle. You're seeing the battle. And if you continue down that path, you will continue to live in the same scenarios that you've always lived in. The second thing the disciples had is that loss was in their hearts. They were overwhelmed and overcome by the circumstances of the last few days. Think of the roller coaster they're on. They went from the triumphant entry, you know, where he's riding on the colt. They're laying down palm branches before him. They're all crying out, glory to God, blessed is the Messiah. They're Maranatha, they're calling out to the Lord. And now just about a week later, they've taken him and they've crucified him and they've buried him in a borrowed tomb. And the roller coaster of that moment, loss was still in their heart. Excuse me. If loss is in your heart, you're going to have a difficult time living with the blessing that Christ is trying to give you. The women come to them and they say, he's not there. Angels appeared to us and said to us, he's not there, he's living. And they came and told them this, but they said, oh, those are idle words. That doesn't even make sense. Why? Because in their heart, they were overwhelmed by loss. How many times do we miss the life God has for us because we are overwhelmed by our circumstances and we allow loss to be the dominant theme of our heart? We allow hurt and struggle and battle and difficulty to sink into our heart. Not just death in our eyes, but loss in our heart. It has now moved in to their heart. The circumstances have taken hold. And the circumstances now, they have wrapped themselves in their circumstances. So many Christians do this. We wrap ourselves up in our circumstances. And we buy into the loss and we allow that into our heart. And the loss becomes greater than the possible gain. Amen. How many know in that moment those disciples had no concept of gain because all they could think of was what they had lost? Some Christians have no concept of the gain Christ can bring to them because they are so consumed with what they have lost. Just think with me on that for a moment. The third thing, doubt was in their mouth. So how do you know that, Pastor? Because the Bible says there that I read it to you right there, and their words in verse 11 seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. And Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Here's what was happening. They were saying to them, you women are crazy. I don't believe you. And Peter jumps up, and we find out later in John's gospel, John will tell us Peter and John jumped up and run to the tomb. Because they're going to have to see for themselves. They don't believe what someone else has told them. So you can almost hear them as they get up to head out the door. Well, I don't believe a word you're saying. I'm going to have to go check this out myself. That sounds like nonsense. That sounds like craziness. Why? Doubt was in their mouth. Let me tell you this. If doubt is in your mouth and you will not go to see what God has to say about it, you'll never live in His blessing. If all you're speaking is what you're thinking about a situation and unwilling to accept what God has declared about a situation and unable and unwilling to go find out what God has done about a situation, you'll never live the life that Christ died and rose again for you to live. Amen. Thankfully, Peter and John got up and went to the tomb to find out because they didn't believe Mary. They said, we don't believe you. That sounds like idle tales. We don't believe anything that you're telling us. Why? Because doubt now, they're speaking things contrary to the Word of God. And the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The difference was the women had had an encounter with the resurrection. The disciples had only had an encounter with the death. Amen. So the disciples were stuck in this realm. The women had bumped into a supernatural realm. That's why if we take the supernatural realm out of our churches, we'll never live the lives the resurrection could provide for us. Amen. That's why we have so many churches today that you can go in that are dead. They say the right words. They have traditions. They have things that can point you all the way back to the very beginning of Christianity. They have all those things, but there's no life in the church. You go in and it's almost like you're at a funeral dirge rather than in a worship service. There's no life. There's no acknowledging of the moving of the Spirit of God, because it was the Spirit of God that raised up Christ from the dead. Amen? And if we deny that, and if we reject that, and if we move away from that, and we take the supernatural and the spiritual away, then all we have left with is the cross. And all we have, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that's not enough. The cross was enough to pay for our sins for all eternity. But Jesus didn't stop on the cross. He died and then he was resurrected. Yes. Amen. That's exactly right. And Jesus, as the high priest, had to fulfill the duties of a high priest for us. And he offered himself unto the Father, and the blood that would have been shed. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And without the presentation of that shed blood, then there was no forgiveness. And so there definitely, we're talking about a spiritual aspect here that is important. And it makes all the difference in the world. Because too many Christians are stuck and they know Jesus died, but they're not living in what Jesus came to give for them. They stop short and they don't accept the fullness of the life he's given. But the difference was with the women. And here's what they come with. The disciples could not believe, okay? They could not believe because death was in their eyes, loss was in their hearts, and doubt was in their mouth. But the women, on the other hand, had an encounter with the resurrection. And when they came to the disciples, there was a difference in them, because life was in their eyes, restoration was in their hearts, and faith was in their mouths. So they come in a complete different pattern. So they're coming to the disciples, and the disciples don't believe them. But let me tell you, you can't dissuade someone that's had an encounter with the resurrection. Amen. You can tell them you don't believe them, but it doesn't change in them. You can tell me you don't believe in the death or in the burial or in the resurrection of Christ, and you can't change my mind on that, because I've had an encounter with Jesus Christ. He has changed my life. And so if we're going to live in that, life needs to be in our eyes. They had seen an empty tomb. The disciples had seen a bloody cross and a full tomb. But the women had seen it at this point, an empty tomb. Life was in their eyes. They had seen the angels. They had seen a stone rolled away. They had seen guards not there. There was life in their eyes. The angels told them, the living one is not here. I'm sure memories of Lazarus came springing forward. Memories of the widow's son of Nain was brought back to them as they remembered Christ could raise from the dead others, and so he could raise himself from the dead. They thought of the Son of God, the creator of life, the giver of life, the speaker of life. And 1 Corinthians 15 became alive in them. Death was swallowed up in victory. If you can live your life where life is in your eyes, not death, you can live in the blessing of God. If you can live your life, secondly, with restoration in your heart. Because now, these women, it's not just something they're hoping for, it's theirs. There was a healing of hurts, there was a renewal of hope, and there was joy given to them now where bitterness had been. Amen. There was a restoration in their heart. And if you don't journey from the cross to the resurrection, and if you don't allow yourself to see Jesus alive and alive in you, and you don't allow that life to get in your eyes, there'll never be the full restoration in your heart that he wants to bring to you. And faith was in their mouths, because they came speaking what they had experienced. The disciples were just speaking what they had experienced. It's just all they had experienced was death, impossibility, hopelessness. But the women came speaking faith. He's alive. He is not there. They spoke belief. They spoke excitement. They spoke power. It wasn't nonsense to them. It was reality. So we have two different ones. Let me make this statement. And I'm winding it down right here. Let me make this statement. What you see, what's in your eyes, and what's in your heart, and what's in your mouth, will determine what you believe and how you live. What is in your eyes, what you see, what is in your heart, what the restoration of this air, and what's in your mouth and what's coming out of your mouth will determine what you believe and how you live. First John chapter 2 tells us in verses 15 through 17, he goes through the discussion there and he said, here's what's in this world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Is that not what he says? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. This is all that's in the world. That's what's in the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Well, let's break that down a little bit. It's about what you're seeing. It's about what's in your heart, pride of life. And it's about what's in your mouth, the lust for the flesh. Your eyes, your heart, and your mouth are connected to the life that you will live. And so if you try to live with death in your eyes, loss in your heart, and doubt in your mouth, you'll never live in the fulfillment of what Jesus came to accomplish on the cross and out of the grave and through the ascension. Amen? Psalm 19, the psalmist writes in verse 14 and says, let the thoughts of my mind and the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be unto you, be upon you. Amen? It's important, guys. I want you to hear this, and I want you to understand this. It is important that we get in our eyes life, in our heart hope, and in our mouth faith. If what's in your eyes, heart, and mouth will go through the death, burial, and resurrection process of Christ, you will truly live. So if you will refuse to see anything that hasn't gone through the death, burial, resurrection process of Christ, if you will refuse the death that tries to come to our eyes, and you'll filter everything through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you'll live. If you won't let anything in your heart that can't be filtered through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you'll live. And if you'll quit speaking things with your mouth that are contrary to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and who He was and who He is and who He ever will be, you'll live. The choice is ours. Jesus paid the price. The question is, will we live in the life that He paid for? The Bible says, James writes and says, the tongue is the most untamable member. You know, the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. How many know that's true? You keep speaking negative stuff, guess what you're going to get? Negative stuff. If all you ever see is hopelessness and death and then that's what you're going to live. If all that's in your heart is your loss and what you've given up and the things that have happened to you, you'll never live in victory, but rather get to the empty tomb and see that Jesus didn't just pay for our sin. He rose again that we would have life and that we would have that life everlasting. Amen? Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ. If you confess and you believe, you confess He's the Son of God, you believe in your heart He died and He rose again for you. you'll have life. So I just want to encourage you a little bit tonight. We need to be like the women, and then like Peter and John, because then they ran to the tomb, and we know the story. The Bible says John outran him to the tomb, and John stopped and looked into the tomb and saw the linen cloth laying there folded up. And Peter, just like his nature was, and as we see Peter throughout Scripture, he was slower to get there, but he didn't stop short. He went bounding in. He may have knocked John out of the way if John was sitting down there too close to the opening. He said, "What are you doing sitting here?" He bounds on in there because he wants to see what with his own eyes. He's got to have that moment. And when they come out, they believe. And Jesus appears to them and they see him and they believe. Thomas wasn't there and he didn't believe. And then he said, "Unless I see him with my own eyes and unless I touch him, and I see the scars, and I won't believe." And Jesus appears to him. And I love the scripture. And it says, he told him, "Thomas, come touch." And Thomas said, "Lord, it's no, I don't have to. It's enough. I believe." Right? And he said, "Blessed are you that believe because you see, but blessed are those who believe even when they don't see." When faith can be in your eyes, even when circumstances are pressing around you. So I didn't want to move past the resurrection theme until we talked about the abundant life it means for us and how we can live in it. Because I'm telling you, Jesus died and rose again that we would live. Do you know he wants you to live? And you can't change circumstances of life. We can't change. We'll all go through negative times and bad things and difficulties. And I don't have the answers for all those things. And I don't know why some people seem to go through more suffering than other people. I don't have the answers for that. I know that it's not because they deserve it more than others or because they've done such horrible things that it's happened to them. I know that's not the reason. It's just the lot of life this world brings upon us. And we don't have all the answers for that. But this I do know. Jesus wants us to live. And he wants us to live with life in our eyes. Amen? And with hope and restoration in our heart. And with faith in our mouth. Because that kind of living will turn our world upside down. Because the world lives the exact opposite way. So check yourself periodically. Check yourself. What's in my eyes? What's in my heart? What's coming out of my mouth? And if it's not lining up, take a trip back to the cross, to the tomb, and to resurrection morning. And journey with Jesus. And let him bring you to that place where he ascends. But he said, "Hey, it's good for you if I go. Because if I don't go, he's not going to come. But when I go, the Comforter's coming. And the Holy Spirit will point you to me." And that's the abundant life that he's came to give us. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight.